And now, the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Frank Bassett and Tim Matthews. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a great show coming your way, so get comfortable. We'll be talking with legendary, certainly in the sense of all-time great rounds, Chip Beck. Will be joining us in just a little bit. Tell us what he's up to lately, and that involves, as almost everything today, technology and what's going on in the virtual world that Chip Beck is now in. So we'll hear about that coming up in just a little bit. Also talk a bit about the U.S. Women's Open, which was finally completed a day late, but they got it in a very cold and windy Houston. But congratulations to Lim Kin for winning the championship in a way that I guess everybody dreams about doing, and that is making birdie putts down the stretch. And nothing was handed to her, so congratulations to her. A very, very big championship and all the things that go along with it. The biggest check for the women. They get $1 million. They get all kinds of exemptions, and everything else falls into their hands. So we'll talk a little bit about that. A lot of other things happening in the world of golf as well. We welcome, as always, Frank Bassett from the Nashville studios. How you doing today, Frank?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. The weather's cleared. It's crisp. It's cool. And I may try to get in a few holes today. So here in Nashville, while we're waiting, the vaccine's out. They're starting to, arms are getting stuck.
That's right.
So I'm ready. I'm waiting. That's my sleeves rolled up. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
And get this over with.
But there's still some people that are skeptical about that. And I know everybody, even seasonally, they don't always want to get the flu shot or different things. But I'm all on board. That's what we've kind of been waiting for.
Whatever.
So I think let's do it.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
In the meantime, we got to stay healthy.
Yeah. You know? Hey, what a day yesterday though to stay home, and it was bad weather here in Nashville, raining, cold, nasty, and I just plopped on the couch, and grabbed a beverage, and watched the Women's U.S. Open finale, and it was exciting to watch. Amy Olson, oh my gosh, what a performance she put on yesterday.
Yeah, it was very
I
nice,
was crushed, yeah. crushed that she lost it, but she lost it in a way that she didn't lose it. She was beaten. And
well,
she played great under the circumstances.
Yeah, A Lim Kim, South Korea, birdied the last three holes, and not easy holes to be birdying either. And she hit some phenomenal shots. Shots that, if you remember, I was watching as well, but she didn't seem to like the shots when she hit her from the fairway, and two of them ended up with almost tap-in.
Isn't that normal, though? Is that not normal?
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess,
we'll hit a shot and go, oh, my God, oh my God, and it ends up 6 feet away for us, and we're like.
Yeah, yeah. Better than I thought it was.
So the smart thing to do is just hold your finish anytime you hit a shot and act like it's going to be the shot you want. don't give up that it was an accident it got that close to the hole. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and it was chilly. If you watch any of it, if you didn't, then we'll paint the picture for you. It was kind of a cold Texas winter day, and cold in a relative sense. It was probably low 40s, and felt very cold. You could see a lot of the women were. Matter of fact, Kim was putting on kind of a big puffer jacket right between shots. She was walking down the fairway.
Her caddy would
hold her jacket for her while she's walking down the fairway.
Yeah.
Take it off and putt, and then put it back on again. And all the rest of them had their ski caps on and everything else. So it was not ideal conditions at all, which was a bit ironic because if you looked and saw the broadcast, they showed highlights from the first round on Thursday, which was a beautiful day here in Texas, beautiful day in Houston. It was like mid-60s, upper 60s, and they're all in shorts. And by Sunday, it was a quite different experience. But, again, as I said, not only Kim picking up, she gets $1 million, she gets a five-year exemption on the tour, she gets a 10-year exemption to play in the U.S. Women's Open for the next 10 years. So a lot of perks that come along with those big championships, both on the men's side and the women's side. But, and as you said, it was extra challenging because Amy Olson from South Dakota?
North Dakota.
Her father-in-law passed away
unexpectedly
over the weekend. And so that was seriously a blow to her as well, and she still competed and seemed to be handling everything very, very well. And again, she played well. She shot 72, but Kim came in with a 67, and it was just hard to beat. I mean, the final scores were very, very close. There's only a one-shot difference, but she beat her by five. Kim beat Olson, and Yin Young Coe by just a one shot in the final round. So exciting and dramatic and all the other things I think you expect out of a major championship. So it was pretty exciting, fun to watch.
It was it was fun to watch, but some of the poignant things that occurred too is, you know, she on 18 she drains the putt. Amy does, raises her hand up in the air and closes her eyes and looks up, and she said throughout her round that she was repeating the lyrics in her head over and over again of the song "You Raise Me Up." You raise me up to walk on stormy seas, and because she was close with her family, and you know her husband Grant. Sure. Was there. He had flown in to be there with her over the weekend because she was in the hunt. And, of course, he had to jump on a flight and get back. He was, a football player at North Dakota State University and is currently the linebackers coach up there. So had to return home to be with his mom and dad. And our prayers and hopes and wishes and just heartfelt ouch out to the Olsen family. That's a tough thing to deal with. I've had to deal with it in my life with my dad. Same thing. Unexpected. Boom. Gone. Found him. It was tough. It's just ridiculously tough.
Probably not playing for a national championship, right? I mean,
I wasn't. No. I was on my way. I was on my way to play golf with him, though, and I walked in the house.
I'm not diminishing that. I'm just saying that really put a lot on her on her mind while she's trying to concentrate on golf. And oh, by the way, real life hits at this worst time possible. So, yeah, good for Amy for hanging in there and playing as well as she played, again, under very, very trying conditions. But Alim Kim did what she needed to do and made the putts. Didn't know. She finished early, right? She was about probably 30 minutes or so ahead, a few holes ahead of Olsen. And Hinako Shibuno, who's the girl from Japan, if you remember a year ago, won the Women's British Open, she's only 21 years old, never left Japan in her life, and goes to England for the first time and wins the Women's British Open. And what do they call it? Yeah. The Smiling Cinderella?
Yes.
So she was also in the hunt as well. She finished just two shots back. So a lot of fun, a lot of good golf. And I'll tell you what, Frank, I don't know about you, and maybe we'll ask Chip Beck this when we have him on here in a minute. Watching those women and their gracious, beautiful, slow tempo swings, and they could still move the ball out there, but boy, they just seem to have such great, great swings. It makes you want to get out there and hit a golf ball and say, you know what, I need to hit more like that. That should be my swing.
Well,
it doesn't seem to end up that way.
We've always said that. I've said that over and over and over again. And with Steve Johnson, who's on this show as a regular, fantastic instructor, has said it too. If you want to emulate somebody, emulate the way the women swing. It's just in perfect tempo. You deliver the club face to the ball in the right position, and it goes. You know, because if you hit it on the center of the club face, you know, it's easier to do it when you're not swinging out of your shoes, at least for us. So
I know.
You know, on a funny note here, just to lighten it up a little bit, of course, Dan Hicks was on the set, you know, live simulcast on SiriusXM as well as on NBC, along with Paige McKenzie. Love Paige. She's a friend. But she, I think she was giddy about being on that set, being a co-anchor with Dan Hicks. And some funny stuff went on. I mean, out of Hicks's mouth, and you got to know Dan to get this, and you know him. He said, it looked like a bunch of snow bunnies out there. And then, those are the biggest earmuffs I've ever seen in my life. And great commentary, you know. It was Brandel Chamblee-ish, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if they packed that or not. The women we're talking about, again, it was Colton Houston. So I don't know if they packed that or you had to go to a ski shop or something and find, because you're right, they all had different versions of jackets on and vests and either ski caps or earmuffs. I mean, all that stuff is not what you normally take to go play golf in Houston.
No, it was great. I mean, there were some great-looking outfits out there, too.
They pulled it out.
Those look great.
Yeah. So, like I said, they had to go. I mean, talk about, that's what I'm saying. You talk about Thursday, and they're all playing in skirts or shorts or whatever they wanted to wear, but, you know, no jackets, short sleeve shirts, the whole thing. To that, I don't know if you packed that or not. I'm guessing a lot of them had to go find a store, to go to the mall, go to the Galleria, and find something to wear. Because how do you pack for shorts one day? And, as you said,
well, the Galleria in Houston is a clip from Champions Golf Club. It's all the way down off of 610 there, and almost the heart of the city.
Yeah,
and it's the place to go. I mean, it's all the big boy shops are there. You know, and I'm sure that's where they went or had someone go get them things.
So. We didn't mention either. It's played at Champions, which is Champions, of course, you're familiar with. And I played there one time. And but a great classic golf course down in Houston that's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You're kind of anybody that's anybody, you play golf at Champions.
And, 1957.
And looked pretty good.
Yeah, 1957, yeah. Founded by Demerit and Burke. And Burke's still there.
Yeah.
Jack Burke Jr. is still there. And,
go figure.
And our good friend Steve Elkington, of course, is a member there. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't talked to him yet. We had texted back and forth early on in the week, but I'll reach out to him and maybe he can join us just to talk a little bit about that in our next show. So.
Yeah, that would be fun because it is. It looked again, it dormant grass, but that's kind of the way it is anywhere in the country. But if you got in the fairways and the greens look beautiful, then you're fine. And it is kind of what it is this time of year. And again, as you might expect, we didn't explain this, but pandemic wise, this is the reason that they're playing this late. They've never had a women's major of any sort this late in the season that you would normally be playing in mid December. It isn't the norm, but that's what they had to do and reschedule because of COVID. So that's why they got it in. So that was the important thing. And now we can all settle on Christmas and getting ready for, I guess, guys heading to Hawaii.
Well, you know, you kind of got Tiger and his son playing in a little event coming up. So
I guess it's a fun event.
It's a fun
event. Really official, but
no,
it should be interesting to see how Tiger's son plays.
Right? Well, I promise you the ratings will be at the top on that. At least from a golfer standpoint, to see Tiger and Charlie, was named for Charlie Sifford, if you didn't know. So Well, speaking of legends in the game, I mean, Chip Beck, what a legend he is, and the second man to ever shoot a 59 out there.
Shot a 59.
Let's
take a quick break. Let's take a break, and then we'll get Chip in and talk about what he's up to lately. It's a new app. Everybody's got an app except for Frank and I. Everybody's got an app. And he's going to be something that all of you might certainly take advantage of because a guy like Chip Beck doesn't come along. You can't normally get lessons or help from guys at that level, but you will be able to now. And we'll tell you what we're talking about when Chip joins us. You're listening to Golf Talk America here, and we'll be back to talk with Chip Beck right after this. Stay where you are. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you, as we just spoke about a little bit ago. We congratulate once again all the women who competed at the U.S. Women's Open in Houston and A-Lim Kin winning the championship, and congratulations to her and how awesome everybody was that played in that tournament. And we also teased a little bit about maybe being able to help you with your golf swing, your putting game, your chipping game, my chipping game, and anything else you might have with a guy who's going to know all about a great swing and how to score low. And we mean low. And that, of course, is Chip Beck, who joins us now. Chip, thanks so much for being with us. How are you doing today?
Thrilled to be with you. I love what you do. I know your show is growing. And that's always exciting this time in our country right now. So it's great. Thank you for having me.
Well, Chip, we want to talk a little bit about what you have going on, and we will get to that in just a second because it is really, really exciting and great technology that's headed. But some other questions we have to ask about because you've been on the tour and Champions Tour for so long, and I guess you got to always start. And is this? It must be on your business card. Somewhere there's a 59, I guess, written on everything that you do because you're one of those small group of fraternity guys that have shot 59, and you did yours back in 91 at the Las Vegas Invitational. Do you guys, all of you now, and I don't know, how many are there, Frank? Are there 7, 8 guys that have shot 59? I forgot the number. Do you guys like to have a special handshake or something when you get together, Chip?
Well, we tried that once, and it was hard to get everybody together. But, yeah, it's a...
Yeah.
Nice thing about the 59 for me, I did it so long ago, it actually, every time somebody shot a 59, they brought my name up. And so, basically knows the name of Chip Beck because of, you know, hearing it on television. Oh, gosh, this so it's a pretty easy name to remember, and it's kind of kept me current for the last 20, 30 years. It's kind of fun.
You know, interestingly enough, Chip, I'm from the Memphis area originally. And I was there at Colonial Country Club in Memphis, Tennessee, and I know you've been there and played that golf course. It's a difficult track, period. Memphis in August, you might as well just climb into a sauna with a full snowsuit on because you're going to suffocate. And I was there for Guy Berger's 59, the first one, and it was a pretty exciting day. It was a lot of fun. I wasn't there for yours in Vegas. Wish I had been, but that's a small fraternity. I think it's 6 or 7 guys. I'm not sure how many.
Well, Annika Thornstam has done it, and they're probably about 10 people now that have done it.
Oh, really? Okay. But yeah, there's a 58 out there. There's a 58.
Furyk's got two seats. Yeah, Furyk's got two seats at that table, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean,
he did it in the
sub 60s.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. That is amazing what Jim's done. He's something else. But we're here to talk about you. I don't mean to get off subject here. Your career, which has been great. I mean, watching you play out there, you've got such a great swing. And Tim and I were talking in the first segment about amateurs. And who do they need to emulate? You know, okay, he loves golf. Let's say John Smith loves golf, loves to get out there and play. Doesn't really have the money to have an instructor with him or take as many lessons. So he takes a few lessons and then goes on about his business. And you know how that kind of, the lessons kind of seep away and you revert back to the old way to play. But what I was saying to Tim earlier, and we've said it over and over again on this show, emulate it. Watch the rhythm of the women when they play golf and how balanced they are and how smooth they are and how rhythmic they swing, and try to emulate that. Don't try to emulate Brooks Koepka. You can't do it. You know, you can't do it. So, but you're doing something now that really is going to help a lot of these folks, right?
Well, I was telling you earlier that Rich Kozowski is a data scientist from MIT and Harvard that actually came up with only using your phone, a way to diagnose your faults, and then it prioritizes those faults. It follows you, and it can give you a fix right there on the phone. But he's the first guy to actually bring a diagnostic tool to golf that doesn't cost, you know, $15,000.
So,
you know, you just put your phone down, and it's personalized to each student. It's kind of a self-guided process, you know, and it's really kind of an amazing thing, because if you wanted to get a really top teacher, they're probably hard to see and they're expensive, but they can teach you for probably $150 or whatever they want to charge, and you get them for the month. And so, like, I've been teaching students, and what I love about Perfect Motion is the name of the company. What I like about it is the way we communicate today. We do it through texting, through email, and you do it on your own time frame. But the prioritization of your issues, and then you get your custom fix, it's remarkable how well people are learning. And so I think that's what has been missing in the golf industry. Is like, and I think one of the reasons Perfect Motion is going to be around is because it's how we learn. It's the loop of learning that Rich calls it. You know, you have a trial and error where you take a swing and then you receive feedback, and it's immediate feedback on top of that. And then you make the adjustment and you get immediate feedback. And then that process of trial and error and that loop, you get a feel, you create feel. And I remember, like, my first time I really played well, it was like 1983 at the Memorial Tournament. This friend of mine, he said, "Hey, Chip, you need to go see this sports psychologist. It's a new thing, but all the Ohio State guys are using him, and they're beating everybody." So I went in this Jim Tanley, I'll never forget the guy, Jim Tanley's office. He laid me on the couch, and he said, "Chip, if you can feel it, you can do it." And you know, that particular Sunday, I came down the stretch playing with Nicklaus, leading the tournament through 14. And believe it or not, Nicklaus hit one out of bounds on the 71st hole. And it was like, I still can't believe. He said, I saw it, you know, eye level on this lady's porch. And Jack said, "Give me a ball." He went back to the tee, hit a driver, hit an 8-iron in there about 10 feet, made his putt for 5. But he ended up being in a playoff with Andy Bean. But I just missed it that day. I actually was leading, and I hit one out of bounds on 14. So it was real close. But, I mean, that's how important feel is. It gave me an opportunity to feel my swing and to think clearly about how my swing was working. And I really – that's what this app does. It gives you the ability to create feel. So that with those custom fixes is hard to beat.
Well, it seems like it's a perfect combination of convenience for people, cost effective for people, just what a lot of us seem to need this day and age. And let's be honest, a lot of us are staying home, and people have been staying home for a long time, and you have an app that you can check out on your phone. For people that need to know, again, it's Perfect Motion. They just go to a website. How do you get the app, Chip? How do you have to download it, put it on your phone, wherever, or on your laptop?
Yeah, you can go to the app store and look for perfectmotion.io, or you can go to my website, chipbeck59.com, and I can coach you. It'll have what you have to include is a coach ID. And once you do that, they have a list of coaches you can choose from. And heck, even Joe Hallett in Tennessee, round pretty close.
Joe's a good friend. He lives, he's right here with me. Joe is a good friend of mine. Yeah.
And a great teacher.
You know what? I have to tell you a quick story, guys. I have a good friend here, believe it or not, a friend. a good friend of mine's wife called me one day. Her daughter was taking lessons from an instructor who is, I won't name the product that he uses, but it sits behind you and it gives you all these numbers, okay? And she had all these numbers in her head, and she was really, really having a tough time. And so her mom called me. She's playing at University of Memphis, and her mom said, Frank, you know, she's taken from this instructor, and it's not working. Do you have somebody you could recommend? And we talked about the issue. I said, I'll tell you right now, he's right here in Franklin, Tennessee. It's Joe Hallett. Joe is he's a feel, look, see, feel type instructor, and he'll have her straightened out in a day. I promise you he will. So she went, took her daughter to Joe Hallett, called me 3 days later and said, you're a genius and he's a miracle worker because this guy is fabulous. So with Joe on your staff, that says a whole lot. That person, by the way, has graduated from the University of Memphis, and her dad's a pretty famous person. Her mother's name's Angel, her dad's name's Steve, and their last name's Cropper. So you might know who Steve Cropper is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good guitar player, huh?
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I love that story. But Joe's that way. Joe's helped me just out at Legends Club in Franklin. Just on the tee box, he'll walk by and say, hey, Frank, try this, do this, do that. There you go. Will you feel that? That's what you want to do. So it sounds like that's what your app's doing. It's Joe Hallett in a box. So
yeah, and Joe Hallett's so busy, plus he's at a private club.
Yes.
There to see him.
No.
And so, yeah, he can help you. And what makes it so effective is that because the faults are prioritized, and because it'll track you on three or four different faults, and move its body. It's three dimensional data that's taken in, and that data. Sorry, I had a call there, but the data that's taken in is so accurate that. And it's so prioritized to what your custom fix should be, you know, and your specific need, that he can pinpoint what your first step is on the continuum of learning. And so that's really important to get you started and to attack it from the proper angle in an unbiased way. And I think that really helps a guy like Joe because he's so busy.
So sure.
It's a lot of fun, but the one of the great things about it as well, you can take it to the gym and get feedback, or you can use your weighted club or your fan, and you can do it with a putt. I mean, with putting is incredible. You can do it with a ball, without a ball. And so it's really versatile, and so a lot of people are developing. We're actually going into physical fitness.
Oh.
And the coaches, you know, where you can actually go to the gym and get help on what your problem is. Like if you can't keep balance in your swing, you probably have a weak core. So they'll give you exercises on how to strengthen your core muscles. So we're starting to move into that area. So it's growing. And I think that's the reason, one of the reasons the company's growing so well is because they're really good listeners. And because they collect data, it's like if you have a lot of students, they can tell you that, gosh, 90% of your students are hanging back at impact. You need to send a lesson on how to, you know, use your hips properly and get in front of that ball so you're not hanging back through impact. I mean, there's so many different uses because the data is so rich. It's kind of fun that way.
Yeah. Now, are you, you're also one of the instructors, am I correct?
I am.
Say, well, how many people can get Tim? Come on, you need to send... You need to do this with your chipping. Chip Beck can help you in your chipping, Tim. I guarantee.
Why does my chipping? Why does my chipping, Chip Beck? Why does my chipping become a focus of every show, Frank?
Because you suck.
Can you just not remind me one show?
You're such
that
a
that I can't chip from
chip,
here. My
Tim
garage?
Tim is such a good golfer. He really, really is. But he just has this thing in his head that clicks sometimes when he's
yips. It's called a yips.
I didn't want to say that word. Just, okay.
That's all right. I'll say it. I try to own it. I try to do everything I can to overcome it. Nothing's worked.
And I bring it up every show.
But I'm not the night. But every I can't get away from it.
we have a person that's he loves golf on the staff at Perfect Motion that has the yips with his chipper as well. And so I'm helping him how to put his arms on his chest, kind of like Hogan kept his right elbow on his right hip when he's chipping the ball,
sure.
Just so you get. You get a sharp action downward because you're using a little bit of wrist, a little bit of forearm, a little bit of shoulder. So you take it back, and the club head does most of the work, and you pivot through. So if you mishit it, you at least get it on the green because the body pulls the hands and club head around to where you at least get a decent rolling forward of the ball. So,
damn.
Yeah, that's a powerful thing. There's nothing worse.
I need to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than that, than chipping poorly, because you, he has trouble wedging it 40 yards, and it's like you get anxious over it, and then you're beat, you know, so you have to be able to practice away force. So anyways, it's a fun thing to do to get over it, and you always pray that you never go back to it. It's like the shanks. You just don't want them, you know?
Oh, don't terrible. Even. Oh. I have to tell you, I was at Firestone a few weeks ago, well, a month or so ago. And for whatever reason, the S word snuck in on me just all of a sudden. And I was hitting the ball really good. I mean, really playing a pretty decent round of golf. And then all of a sudden that happened. That changed the entire dynamic of the rest of my round. I was just scared to pull the club head back with short
Johnny
shots.
Well, Miller did it, you know, leading a tournament once. He shanked it on a downhill lie.
Yeah.
So it happens for sure. Whew.
Scary stuff.
It can happen. By the way, we're talking with Chip Beck, and his new app is Perfect Motion that he's part of. So check it out. Perfect Motion is the app. And just as he said, go to the App Store, and you can find out more about that and get some help with your golf game. Chip, you know, talking about being a coach now and kind of transforming from being a player and now coaching and helping other players brings me to thinking about today's current players. And, Frank, earlier you mentioned Brooks Koepka, a powerful athletic guy that plays golf now, and Chip, when you probably first started playing, it wasn't such that way with the best athletes oftentimes would go play baseball or basketball, football, different sports, and wasn't always the golfers who were getting those guys. More and more that's happening, and probably a lot of that having to do with Tiger Woods. But in your coaching, are you seeing the Bryson DeChambeau effect or the Brooks Koepka, the Dustin Johnson? The power game is so much different, and I'm just going to guess, but when you first came on tour and you were in the 80s, playing a long driver was probably hitting the ball 275 yards or so, but it's a different game now, isn't it?
Well, it's entirely different now, to the point where it's really interesting to listen to DeChambeau, because he's saying, hey, look, if you don't want this to happen, like what happened at Wingfoot, you're probably going to have to eliminate, you know, rough all the way around. He's talking to the USGA, which is like, are you kidding? He's probably right. Eliminate all the rough. Or another thing is maybe start from 180 yards from the green and just make it, you know, 2 feet deep, completely unplayable. So it's kind of interesting. I would have never thought of anything like that. But yeah, the equipment just creates so much distance. And the faster you swing it, the farther it goes. The one thing that I think is really hard for me to watch, and I think it's one of the downfalls of the way the tour is run today, and there's nothing to be done about it. But when in my day, like I played in 1979, my first year, I played with Sam Snead at the Quad Cities when he broke his age, shot like 68 or something. It was like, this guy is amazing, and I'll never forget it. He slaps me off the tee, and he cusses at me. He says, Chip, you got to keep that ball in your stance, son. You can't play from there. And I said, Mr. C, what do you mean? I was nervous, you know, just off the first tee playing in the tournament with him. And so you had, I had these guys like Trevino. And he would tell me, he said, Chip, man, come here. I was in Phoenix playing with him. I couldn't get out of this pot bunker. And he said, Chip, you got to go straight up with it. And I couldn't get out. Because there's a deep, deep bunker. And he gets in there and he says, look, let me show you how to do this. You take it right over your shoulder. The steeper you come down, the steeper that ball hits that bottom and comes up. Well, he lifted out twice. And then I played at Weathersfield in Hartford, Connecticut with Chichi Rodriguez. And he gets over there and he hits me and he says, Chip, you're the worst wedge player I've ever seen. You put that ball back in your stance, chop down on it. At least you'll get it on the green, you know. And so, you know, like I played with George Archer and Nicklaus and Floyd. But, you know, these guys now are playing the Champions Tour. I mean, it's really too bad for them because I watched Ricky Fowler, you know, lose three majors because he's using a technique that's – I don't think it's as good as Seve's technique. And I don't think I could watch it if I'm playing with him. I'd say, man, come on, Ricky, you need to do it like Tiger does. It open the face, but move the handle back and open up in relation to the ball. Your hands will still be in front of the ball. But I never saw Seve double chip like Jason Day did to win the TPC championship. He was afraid at the left of 16. I remember that one where he had to carry it about 10 yards, and I think he – because he has such a long swing with his wedge, his chipping, he left it short and chipped it on. But he makes two double bogeys having to chip it twice. I never saw Seve do that. Seve would just take it up high and take all the grass and everything out. And he'd get it on that green come hell or high water. And so it's all technique-based, in my opinion. So the young kids aren't really getting the benefit of the prior generations to the degree that I was fortunate enough to have. So I think that's, you know, that's the only downside that they have. But I wouldn't trade all those experiences I had with the generation that's, you know, 20, 25 years older than me before that senior tour started, because it was a wonderful experience what you can learn from these great players. I mean, I played with Billy Casper and I played with the Peacock Doug Sanders. I played with all these guys, you know, in the exhibitions. And so we learned a lot. And I think it's really a great education.
I, you know, you talk about that. Snead, for instance, Sam Snead, on the first tee, just jumps all into your stuff. I mean, that's got to be unnerving. So I guess, yeah, over my years, I've gotten to play, luckily, in a lot of PGA Tour pro-ams or events, whatever. And one of my favorites was in Memphis, and it was with Lee Trevino. That's the most fun I've ever had on a golf course. And he's the one guy we've never had on this show. Tim, by the way, you know him. He lives close to you.
I know.
So
you just have to ask him. He'll help you with your show. He's really good.
He's so much fun to be around. I still have the – he took his glove off. He signed it, and I still have it here in the studio. It's in a glass case. Signed by Lee Trevino.
That's reason enough that he'll come on your show and give you a great show. He still can talk as fast as anybody in the game.
Yeah, we've had Chichi on. Coach, you've been on the show before, too, and a couple of other endeavors. You've been with us in the early days of Golf Talk America, too, which was at the PGA show, I think. You were on live with us.
Yeah, you were at PGAtour.com, or y'all were doing
something. Yeah, we were working with the tour in those days, and we've moved on to and expanded from that. Not moved on. We're still involved with the tour, but the tour is not doing live shows on the front page of PGAtour.com anymore. So we're out on about 17 platforms, to be honest with you, and
we're everywhere.
We're in a ton of followers. I mean, so we're thrilled.
You're gonna be a million followers before too long.
I hope so. That would really make us happy. But what would make me even happier, Chip, is to get together with you sometime and get to play at least 9 holes and just enjoy your company. How much fun would that be for me?
It would be awesome. Now, I'll tell you something you can do, which would be kind of fun right now, is you could just have a giveaway program where I'll coach these guys. They just buy the app at $60 a year. Or $6 a month, and you'll have them on behalf of Golf Talk America. They'll be coached by Chip Beck. Send three guys my way, and I'll coach them for free. How's that?
That's strong. Tim, nice. Tim, you are ineligible. Nice. You are ineligible,
Tim. I was going to say, I might be the first one.
No.
Yeah.
All you have
that would
to do
be awesome. Okay.
For the app, go to perfectmotion.io or chipbeck59.com. You can go right on there. You can sign up. And you get 2 weeks free, but, you know, for $60, you can I'll coach you for free over the next year. How's that?
That's Tim.
And I'll probably, nice. It'll really, I think you'll benefit from it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, maybe you think, no, I'm not going to say that. I was going to try to be flippant and funny, but not to mention a Dallas golfer. I'm not going to say it. But
don't try that.
He needs some help. He needs some help. We love him. He's a great pro. He needs some help.
Hang on. Is it chipbeck59.com? I want to get that right. Chipbeck59.com is your website?
Okay. Yep,
there we go.
It.
That helps. We're joined by Chip Beck.
Over there that I think is struggling. That boy needs some help. Just tell Tim Matthews I'll help him too.
Okay. Well, you know, we love Jordan Spieth. I mean, Jordan Spieth, there's not a finer young man out there. We know him. Tim's known him forever. What do you see in Jordan's game? What in your mind is going on?
You see, that this is the thing that's so bizarre to me. I see all these guys, like even a DeChambeau. I was telling this guy named Mike Shy, who was his boyhood teacher and who got him on the same length shafts and all that. He's out from Fresno, California. He's part of the Perfect Motion team, and I was kind of teasing him. I said, I don't understand the 30 to 40 degree open face at the top of DeChambeau's swing. I said, you got to bring that thing back to 1 to 2 degrees of accuracy to play at a high, high level. And I said, it's impossible for even a child prodigy like DeChambeau to do, or Jordan Spieth, all those weak grippers. It's hard for them to use their bodies. So for instance, you know, you're talking, you watch the Women's U.S. Open. And if a female has their thumb, like if they're a right-handed player, if they have their left thumb straight down the shaft like a Paula Kramer, first off, she played 9 years and tore up her thumb. But the most important thing is she's not able to use her hips and thighs. So she should have been, this girl should, Paula Kramer should have been in the Hall of Fame, but she can't hit it far enough. Even Beth Daniels doing the commentary would say, and she'd say she just can't hit it far enough. Because women, because they're strong in their hips and thighs, about 80% as strong as men in their hips and thighs, they have to use it. But the only way for them to use their hips and thighs is to play with a stronger grip. And there are people out there that have Duvall's grip, Azinger's grip, all these females. But you'll never see, there's not one LPGA Hall of Famer with her thumb straight down the middle. So it tells you it's very difficult to, you can't load and transfer weight from right to left, which all the great players do. Doesn't matter if it's Nicklaus, Trevino, Player Palmer, Tiger Woods, they all do it. Their hips move forward in the downswing, and it transfers weight to the left side, and they hit with that whole right side. And you can't do that with a weak grip. You have to stop like Jordan Spieth does and spin in place, just like Watch DeChambeau. He has to throw it harder and faster to create any more speed instead of using the shaft and the mass times velocity of that right hip. They'll create a lot more power and they'll be a lot more accurate. And that's what I don't understand. There's still a lot of misinformation on tour. These players, like even Morikawa, that are bowing wrist with grips, and even this Matthew Wolf, I mean, to play the way they're playing, they're making it so hard on themselves. And they're playing a lot like Trevino played, which is really hard on your body. But they're playing, Trevino played with a strong grip. These guys are playing with weak grips, and they're dropping, you know, between 4 to 8 inches in the downswing. And, man, let me tell you, that will tear up your back. So they, the fortunate thing for them, they'll make enough money in 5 years, they'll never have to work. But our generation couldn't play that way. I mean, Trevino has a hard time. You know what I'm saying? So it's a fascinating.
That's interesting. That is very interesting. They may make a lot of money, but they're going to give it to the orthopedic surgeon eventually.
Oh my!
Well, I think what Chip is saying, and what we've heard Frank, from other people that Steve Johnson and other people that
yeah.
teach golf and know a lot about golf have all said that Spieth's swing has some big flaws in it. And yes, he's gotten away with it and did up until 3 years ago. But is it going to be enough? Is it going to peter out? Is it going to not hold up for? And sure enough, here's what we're seeing. He hits a peak at like 25 and hasn't done anything for 3 years. Chip, in your opinion, still staying on Jordan Spieth there, does he have to dramatically change his swing? Because it doesn't look like he has. He's trying to do other things. He's tried to get more distance. Maybe that's part of his problem. But it sure looks like his grip and his swing are pretty similar to where they were when it was successful for him. But are you thinking that he needs to make some drastic changes in his golf swing, in his grip, if he's going to get back to winning?
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, he needs to turn. I mean, like Jack Nicklaus in 1978, he went to Jack Grout, and he's playing terribly. And Jack says, Jack, you need to move that left thumb a quarter inch to the right. And he wrote the article in Golf Digest a year ago or so, and he said, you know, immediately my game turned around and I started playing better. But, for instance, when you turn, if you use the classic Varden grip, Your swing is actually on plane all the way throughout. You don't have to make any adjustments. You don't have to make all these compensations, and it takes less timing. And so the circle of your swing will actually square it up. But when you have a circle that has to square up with the bowing of the wrist, you can't move right. Your head has to stay perfectly still, or you're going to hit the ball all over. And so what happens with a young kid is easy to play when you come right out of college and you're riding high and things are going your way, and then you get a little pressure on them. Then things start changing because you want to be able to increase and improve. But it's very difficult with a weak grip because you just cannot play as good rolling those hands and not using your body. And like even downhill swings, like when he's like on the 12th hole at Augusta, hit that, you can't open up to your shot, get the club up with the proper wrist action, and get down with the bounce hitting first. So if you move laterally like they tend to do, you hit it. I mean, you just have to move a little bit, the grain of a sand, and boom, you're going to hit it fat. So it's a different way of playing. And you know, I asked Tom Kite about that. I said, Tom, how in the world does a kid get out of Texas with that weak a grip in all the wind that they play? Because there's no way that you can hit a shot 220 yards on a bullet that never moves. You just can't do it. Because anytime you bow that wrist, you've got to, you know, swing in to out to get the ball started on your target line. But then the face rotates, so you always get ball curvature. And you can't control the trajectory as well. So it's a very difficult way to play. I mean, even a Jordan Spieth, I pray for him because I love him too. And I think he was probably the most sophisticated putter and psychologically sound putter since Bobby Jones. And
wow.
I love that part of him. But when you put pressure on him, it's like even in the Ryder Cup, the European teams were saying, yeah, we just want to see Jordan putt. They were trying to put pressure on him.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Chip.
Got another phone call.
No, I think we lost.
Was that Jordan Spieth? Is it Jordan Spieth calling for a tip, maybe?
Jordan's calling in live.
Is he trying to get some advice on what to do with his wrist?
I think we lost Chip. Let's okay. pause. Let's take a quick pause, right. And let's get him back.
All right, we'll see if we can get some new technology figured in here, too. Before we get the app, we got to get a phone call that can get through. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back, possibly with Chip Beck, in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, welcome back. We're back
to an abbreviated Golf Talk America. Yeah, and we got Chip back. We got a phone call.
Hey,
you got snowheaded your way in North Carolina. Maybe that's a problem.
AT&T. Okay, I paid my bill. I swear.
Sure you did. Anyway, Chip, you're back. Sorry, we lost you there for a second. But what you're talking about is actually, and Frank and I were just saying there during our quick pause, that I'm thinking the same thing. Where's my thumb going? What you have to say, which is perfect for perfect motion. For people to get the app and find these things out, because we all think we know pretty much what we need to do or how we, need to hit the ball or hold our hands or whatever, but there's always something new and different.
Okay.
And it's making me think, do I have too weak a grip sometimes to hit it?
So I'm holding a 7-iron right now, boys. Okay, I've got a 7-iron, and I always grip it first with my left hand. That V, my thumb, and that V on the first forefinger is straight up over my right shoulder, and then I come up under it when I, you know, interlock, and that V is over my right shoulder. Is that correct? I mean, that's the way I play.
Well, the right hand, all the right hand does is the center of gravity is real. It covers the thumb on the left hand, and it actually pushes. So, like when you shake somebody's hand, that right hand's not turned to the right or to the left. It's straight up and down, and you grab the club. So that V will come up more towards your nose.
Okay.
And so for instance, I'm. You know, like when you watch a Justin Thomas, he was taught by people my age. We thought that, you know, having the thumb like at 12, like just a smidge to the right of the shaft on top, that you could, that was the best way to play with a flat left wrist at the top. But if you watch Jordan Spieth, you know, at Augusta, he's got his right hand bandaged up. You know, because anytime you start bowing and twisting that face on the downswing with as much force as he uses, you're going to put pressure on the back of the right wrist, so he's getting tendonitis. And so there we've learned so much, and yet they're pretty simple. But I know that our coaches are well versed, and they will speed your improvement. And I think that's why Perfect Motion, because it really creates a real time. Digital connection, so to speak, with your students, because you communicate using, you know, your texting and your emails. It's the way people communicate today. So sure. It's very, and I think it's a lot of fun. So yeah, it's a knowledge goes a long way. And there's still a lot of misinformation in the world that I see, especially when it gets to the tour and it's hurting these young people who should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you're talking about a lot of guys that, I mean, you bring up Jordan Spieth, but there's a lot of other guys that are out there that had and have had great years or a couple of great years, and then whether it's injuries or something's going on, the tough part about golf, Chip, in my opinion, is the consistency, right? Being able to do it not only round after round, but year after year after year, and to be able to continue to do that. A lot of guys have those nice little gaps, 3 or 4 years, and they're really, really good. Jason Day, you know, kind of falls off now, and you don't hear much about him at all. Once in a while, he falls back in. Keegan Bradley, you know, they're Ryder Cup players. They're good, and then they're not. It's hard to do that for a 10-year period, kind of like what you're talking about. And I think it brings up a question I wanted to ask you a while ago, but talk about consistency. A guy about your age, Bernhard Langer, and
yeah.
How is it that he's been able to play at such a high level, not only on the Champions, which he dominates still, and he's about 65. I'm guessing you guys are about the same age, Chip.
We are. We're almost an age.
Yeah. And how he does that, and now he goes to the Masters, and he makes the cut, and he does well against guys that are 30 years younger than him. It's really an amazing story about his consistency over decades.
Yeah. His mental toughness is what creates and fires that, I think. And, you know, like I think about all the time those guys that grew up in Europe, and, you know, Bernhard Langer, really, I think in Germany, reconstruction didn't really end in 1985, you know. So these guys, Bernhard Langer was away from home at, you know, 12 and 14 years old, 2 hours from home working for room and board. You know, when he turned 16, he got the yips so bad because he had so much pressure on him. And I remember playing in like the Italian Open when I was 21, just on tour. And I remember standing on the side of the green. I said, who the heck is this kid? He can't make it from a foot. I said, how is he going to do it? I felt so bad for him. And he beat me in the Masters. But I think that, you know, it's like Larry Ellison said. He said he had all the benefits of poverty. You know, I'm in college and Seve's trying to win the British Open. And I'm thinking, wow, what's wrong with me? I should be playing in the British Open. You know what I mean? He's 19.
That's, you know, that's a great point. That is a great point right there.
But poverty drives you to the point where, I mean, if that's what you've got and you're all in, you're all in, man. But I think Americans right. have been spoiled a lot. I mean, even my friends from South Africa, they say, you know, you Americans, like I remember David Frost and Nick Price saying, yeah, you Americans, you think it's only number one. And that's all you care about. And if you're not number one, you guys just throw in the towel. He said, in South Africa, we know that 10th is better than 11th, 5th is better than 6th, and 1st is better than 2nd, 2nd is better than 3rd. So we fight to the finish. A lot of South Africans are tough fighters, you know. So yeah, Americans need to be a little bit tougher, you know. We've been really fortunate in our country. So I'm hoping that we maintain our democracy so that we don't have to suffer like all these other countries, you know what I mean? Because it can happen.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You're right. You know, you mentioned two of my favorite people, too. When you talk about David Frost, old Frosty, I used to see him every year out in Tucson, at the which is now the Coligard Classic, used to be the Conquistador Classic.
Yeah.
And he's a piece of work. He's sent me some wine, and he's a good dude. And Price, real quick story, guys. I love this story. Many years ago, I lived in Ponte Vedra Beach for a little over 14 years there at Sawgrass. So I was there for the first tournament when it moved across the street from Sawgrass Country Club to TPC. And over the years, I was involved with the tournament and got to be around some players. Well, Nick used to stay at a good friend of mine's house down on the beach some, Tommy Sandifer. He'd stay at his place. I don't know if you know Tommy or not, Chip, but we would go to a place on the Intercoastal just right behind TPC Sawgrass called Ward's Landing. And it was a bar on the Intercoastal with a long deck. And we had purchased some AstroTurf and put it on the end of the dock. And then across the Intercoastal about 100 yards, we had a guy go hang a number 10 wash tub. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's just a big round galvanized
bucket.
Big, but number 10's big, right? Big around. About as big around, 3 feet, 4 feet across. Hung it on a palm tree where you could hit at an angle where you'd hit golf balls into it. I saw Nick Price came out there with us one day. We're all out there. We'd go to Kmart in those days and then steal all the golf balls off the range at Sawgrass too. But we would hit balls. We'd get out there with a wedge and we'd start hitting balls, you know, and it was balls for a beer is what we called it in those days. Saw Price hit the wash tub 7 times in a row straight. Ding, 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 ding. Really? He got free beer the rest of the night.
Yeah. He was definitely a gifted player.
Woo, what a player.
Yeah.
And one of the nicest people in golf.
Yeah.
You know, I always loved Nick Price. You can't help but respect him. And I'll never forget that buddy PGA Championship. Great, great people. But Frosty's a great storyteller as well.
Yeah, he sure is. Yeah, he's a good dude. He's got some good wine, so.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he has some good wine.
He's into his wine.
Where he grows those grapes, Stellenbosch over there. When I went there, one of the prettiest places in the world, and it's just like Napa Valley. It's like those cool nights and those hot days where that sun. It's like if they can't grow grapes here, they can't grow it anywhere. Amazing place. So they should be able to grow some really good wine down there.
Oh, yeah.
So. Well, Chip, we do appreciate your time so much. You're really a busy guy, and we do appreciate you taking the time out of that schedule to talk with us. Again, people need to go to chipbeck59.com, and they can find the app, the Perfect Motion app. Also, just go to the App Store, put in Perfect Motion, you can find it, and well worth your while to get tips from Chip or any of the other instructors to help with your golf swing, and continued success, Chip, with everything, your golf, with your golf instruction and your wine drinking and everything else you got going for you.
So much.
We do appreciate it, and hopefully you can join us again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for thinking of me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
All right, Chip.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks so much. Chip Beck.
Great guy.
And very insightful. That was not only about different people playing on the tour and stuff. I mean, he went through the gamut. We got all the way from Jordan Spieth and
Sam Snead,
today's current player, DeChambeau, to Sam Snead. It's only about a 180-year gap between those guys there. But
he played with some of the
interesting time, didn't he?
He played with some of the greatest golfers to have ever lived.
Oh, I mean the late 70s. Yeah, I mean, obviously from what he said, he played with Sam Snead when Snead was pushing 70. And
yeah.
He broke 68 or broke his age at 68. Yeah, he was playing with a 70-year-old Sam Snead. Yeah, it's pretty cool, pretty cool. I was working on my left hand there.
You probably hear all this movement on the headset. I've got clubs laying out on the floor now.
You're hitting balls.
I was going to open the doors. Yeah. It's a little cold to do that. Here, so. Yeah. No, I really want to check out that app. I really want to sign up for that and do that. And like you said, if somebody will send us an email, send it to frank@golftalkamerica.com for our listeners. First three emails we get from golfers, you're going to get a free lesson from Chip Beck for $60 a year and a year, free lessons. So,
yeah,
folks, you need to sign up for that.
Got to get the app.
For sure.
Yeah.
So frank@golftalkamerica.com, and we'll get you signed up, and you'll have lessons from one of the greats. So, wow, how cool is that?
What a cool idea. Very, very neat that, again, I know we're getting vaccines, and we're going to start to get maybe out more and more, but in the meantime, a lot of us are still kind of locked down. What a good time to have an app like that to work on your game when you don't need a ball, right? Like you said, you don't need a ball. You can just, it has that 3D dimensional look, so it kind of dictates and sees different flaws in your swing. In my case, that would be committed to name.
No, he said 18. It identifies, I think 18 was mentioned. I want to clarify that, but I know that I have more than 18 flaws in my swing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, first flaw is how I tie my shoes. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, my stance, I have 18 flaws.
You've seen my swing. You know what it looks like. My swing's not that bad, though. You've got a great swing. I mean, you really are a good player.
You're just lying about your handicap is all. You're trying to
stop it. Stop it.
Make that money.
I still have room in my trophy case for some of those net wins.
Something. Some guy with a 15 handicap comes in with a 74. You're like, you can only do that so many times, Frank. Catch on.
Golf Writers Association of America, Claret Jug, sitting right back here. They almost shot me that day. But it was a legit handicap. We finished that tournament. Yeah. I got the first place trophy, net, and everybody just looked at me and called me bad names.
Called Uber, got out of there real quick.
You remember the scene in the movie Young Frankenstein where the townspeople have the picks and axes and burning torches and they're going up the hill to kill the monster?
To get the monster.
Kind of looked that way that afternoon at Hammock Beach.
By the sheriff,
they were ready to string me up. I can't help it. I just had an on day.
The chief of police?
Yes, Frank,
had the wooden arm.
Nice grouping.
grouping.
We're really off the rails. We better get out of here.
We're getting giddy. All right, we are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. We do appreciate it. Thanks to Chip Beck. Again, check it out, chipbeck59.com, the place to go, and check out the app. It's Perfect Motion. Go to the App Store and get Perfect Motion. Thank you, Chip. That was a lot of fun. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.